fills up our plates. Papa's saying grace. Louisiana living sweet as sugar.
Welcome to the Story Table, brought to you by Providence Church in Lake Providence, Louisiana, where they want you to know that you are loved. Sierra Story, Chapter 4. Lolly would have laughed out loud, only it would have given Jeff the satisfaction of knowing she realized he was on the same planet. Jeff was trying so desperately to get a rise out of her. She was just as determined to ignore him. This was Jeff's plan B. Plan A had been to stare at her forlornly through their first two classes together, throughout the lunch break, and during the assembly. She had felt his eyes boring into her, willing her to meet his gaze. When that didn't seem to work, he had moved on to this new strategy. Lolly usually loved English, especially literature. Miss Stone was a lot of fun. She encouraged class participation, and everyone's opinions were treated respectfully as long as they were genuine. In the other classes, the jocks or the airhead beauties tried to be funny to get attention, but Miss Stone could cut you off in a way that made you feel stupid instead of cool, so they learned to keep quiet in her class. Lolly couldn't understand why some girls acted more clueless than they actually were. If she were ignorant, she'd darn well keep it to herself. This week's assignment was to choose one of Emily Dickinson's works, study it, and be prepared to read aloud a poem of their own inspired by it. Lolly was proud of her poem, but today she was hoping Miss Stone wouldn't call on her. She didn't want the attention, not with Jeff acting so stupid. Unfortunately, she was finding it hard to ignore him. He was only one row away and two desks up, his big overgrown body overflowing his own desk and invading the aisle. He was also sharing space with Plan B herself, Susan the Easy. Lolly tried to ignore Jeff as he played with Susan's hair and whispered in her ear. Every now and then he glanced at Lolly to see what effect this new tactic was having on her. Lolly was irritated, but she wasn't jealous. It didn't faze her that all the boys thought Susan was the bomb. So what if Susan had all the right stuff stacked in all the right places? It was accessible. That was Susan's problem, as far as Lolly could see. She didn't have any character to speak of. Although Lolly had long figured out that high school wasn't a place where character got a whole lot of attention, Susan was actually doing very well with what she had, and right now she had Lolly's ex-boyfriend playing with her blonde curls. Lolly wished Miss Stone would move to this side of the room and get a load of this. "Lolly," Miss Stone asked, breaking into her train of thought, "do you have a poem for us?" Lolly groaned inwardly. "Yes, ma'am." She'd rather die than to let Jeff think he was bothering her. Miss Stone smiled pleasantly. "Good. Then would you please tell us which one of Miss Dickinson's poems you studied, and then read us yours?" "Well, Miss Stone, I chose Because I Could Not Stop for Death, and I haven't exactly titled mine, but here goes. I did not have time for death, so I pushed it aside to wait. And when it demanded its due reward, I admonished it for its audacity. So death found the time for me, and when I grieved for my loss, death laughed and told me of the time I did not have that was found." Miss Stone was pleased. Lolly felt conspicuous as her teacher praised her work. Her brother normally sat in the back of the class, but today Luke had taken the empty desk directly beside her. He leaned up and spoke in an exaggerated whisper. "Well, if it isn't Lolly Dickinson, y'all." Lolly took her notebook and swatted him away, and the class laughed good-naturedly. They had watched the twins go at it for years. Mercifully, the bell rang before Miss Stone could embarrass the girl any further. Luke grabbed his books and bolted with the others while Lolly lagged behind, trying to give Jeff and Susan the easy enough time to get out the door. She busied herself tidying her desk, hoping they'd be gone by the time she reached the parking lot. Luke would fuss about having to wait for her, but she was used to that. Lolly's best friend Jan was waiting at her locker. Thank God it's Friday. Never sounded so good. Jan held up her hand for a high five at her announcement. You said it. Lolly smiled at Jan and slapped her palm. Everyone smiled at Jan. It was hard not to. She had flaming red hair and a huge smile that curled around her face constantly. She might have been just a little to the right side of curvy, but since she didn't seem to notice, for the most part, neither did anyone else. She and Lolly had been inseparable from grade school. They stuffed most of their books in the lockers, choosing a few to reluctantly cram in their backpacks. They did have weekend assignments, but Sunday night would be soon enough to worry about homework. So, what you going to do tonight? Lolly and Jan were walking out the inn doors when she asked. You know Jeff will be uptown looking for you. Maybe, maybe not. He was all over Susan during English. Maybe she'll keep him busy. Oh, she'll be busy with someone. You can put money on that. But it won't be Jeff. He's not going to give up, Lolly. He's crazy about you. Lolly kicked at the gravel beneath her feet. You didn't see him. Maybe he finally got the message. Lolly and Jan looked up at the same time to see Luke waiting on the hood of the Jeep. He had company. Well now, look who's waiting with Luke, Jan said wryly. I rest my case. Call me when you get home. Jan motioned to a girl racing the engine of a car in front of him. Lolly glared at Luke like he was Benedict Arnold himself. I have got to get my wheels back, Jan muttered as she got in the passenger door of the little silver Honda and rolled down the window. Give him a break, Lolly. Which one? Lolly asked. Everyone knew Jan had a thing for Luke. Both of them. Jan grinned. She rolled up the window as Leslie hit the gas and the Honda spun out of the parking lot. Ignoring the two boys, Lolly threw her stuff in the back seat and climbed behind the wheel. Let's go, Luke. Yes, ma'am. Luke rolled his eyes at Jeff as he got in the passenger seat. He decided not to argue about driving, even though he was out first. Jeff stepped between Lolly's door and the Jeep's frame before she could close it. Come on, Lolly, can't we talk? Go talk to Susan. Jeff's face screwed up in frustration. Oh, Lolly, I had to do something. You wouldn't even look at me. Come on, let me take you home so we can talk. I promise I'll leave when we get there. Go on, Lolly, go with him, Luke said, trying to help Jeff. This is none of your business. Lolly spat the words at her brother. Why do they all stick together? She looked back at Jeff and sighed. There is nothing that we hadn't said. Jeff smiled, his head dipped slightly sideways like she had seen a million times. Please? You promise you'll leave me alone after that? Jeff put his hand over his heart. Scout's honor, Lol. You are no scout, Jeff, Lolly said. Turning towards Luke, she snapped, We'll be right behind you. Luke climbed over the gear shift to the driver's side. It would have been a lot easier to go around, he thought, as he tried to unwrap his legs into the floorboard. By the time he got the Jeep started, Lolly was in Jeff's truck, pressed as close as possible to the passenger door. He laughed to himself. Good luck, Jeff, old buddy. You're going to need it. Luke liked Jeff. They used to have a lot of fun hanging together before Lolly busted things up. He didn't know what had happened between those two, but his sister had messed that boy up bad. Could be he'd get his running buddy back after all. Luke was as crazy about girls as the next boy was, but no female was going to make him act stupid. No way. Poor Jeff, Luke said, grinning. He cranked up the radio and joined in loudly with one of his favorite songs. A car full of girls passed. The driver honked and they all waved. Luke waved back, checking his rearview in time to see him turn off at the burger barn. Suddenly, realizing he was thirsty, Luke spun the red Jeep around, making an illegal U-turn. Jeff and Lolly passed Luke turning into the burger barn. They had driven the three blocks in an uncomfortable silence. Want a Coke? No, thank you. Are you sure? Positive. Lolly was harsh. Why? Did you see Susan's car there? Jeff sighed heavily. Could you cut it out, Lol? I don't give a darn about Susan, and you know it. You could have fooled me. Jeff frowned and reached for the radio knob, wondering what he could do or say to make things right again. He stole a sideways look at Lolly. He liked to drive with the windows down, and even though he was driving slowly to buy time, the wind was still whipping her hair about. Any other girl would want the windows up, but Lolly was different. Lolly didn't fish for compliments like the other girls either, and she never talked about how fat she was when she wasn't. Jeff didn't have to look at Lolly's face to see it. He knew it by heart. He just liked looking. Right now, her jaw was set like she was facing a firing squad. Why does she have to be so darn stubborn, he thought to himself. We're almost at the store, Lolly broke the silence first. Just take me there. I need to help Mama. You just want out. You can't stand to be in the same truck with me anymore, can you? Lolly ran her fingers over her hair, smoothing it out of her eyes. Don't be silly, Jeff. Mama's expecting a shipment. She'll need my help. Jeff slowed down as Cece's plants and patios came into view. Luke and Lolly had always helped their mother at the nursery. Jeff remembered when he would beg his mother to send him to Cece's for a shrub, a flower, anything. His mother always joked that she hadn't really been a yard person before Jeff fell so hard for Sierra's little girl. Now she had one of the most admired landscapes in Providence. That all seemed like yesterday, but it was more than 2 years ago now. Jeff and Lolly had spent the last year and a half as a couple. It didn't matter if the whole world thought they were too young to be serious. Jeff wanted to spend the rest of his life with Lolly. He had thought she felt the same way. There's your mom, he said. Jeff had to force himself to smile and wave as he pulled into the gravel parking lot. He liked Miss Sierra, but he wanted more time with Lolly, alone. Miss Sierra was helping a customer to the car with a large, healthy fern. It was growing in one of those new plastic pots that looked like old stone. It made her look like a muscle woman as she heaved it into the back seat. Her hair was caught in a low ponytail, and she wore her standard blue jean shorts and a bright yellow T-shirt with Cece's Plants and Patios printed across the back. Jeff stopped the truck, facing the cab purposefully away from the front of the store. Lolly heard the sound of crunching gravel and looked over her shoulder. Uh-oh, it's Miss Bunch. She'll be here to dark. The ever-so-slight pause gave Jeff time to reach across the seat for Lolly. Wait, Law. We hadn't even talked. His touch awoke a familiar ache in Lolly's chest, an old pain she had grown addicted to. She felt like an addict, too, as her whole body responded to the light pressure of his fingers. She flinched at his touch. She wondered if Jeff noticed. I miss you, Law. I miss you so bad I can't see straight. Once the words started coming out, Jeff couldn't stop them. It'll be different, I promise. I know we almost messed up. I know you don't want to. We won't. I promise. I won't let anything happen, Law. Just don't make me live without you. Lolly jerked free and got out of the truck, slamming the door. She came around to Jeff's window and stopped, looking him straight in the face. I know you mean that, but you have meant it before. Lolly checked to make sure her mama was out of earshot. But I don't trust myself any more when I'm with you. I don't trust us. I'm sorry, Law. It'll be different. Let me prove. Lolly jumped in. I don't blame you. I blame us both, but it's no good, Jeff. Lolly took a few steps backwards, away from the temptation to take the hand Jeff reached towards her. We can't keep doing this to each other. We're making ourselves miserable. Her blue eyes were filled with tears. I can't act like it's okay. It might be for Susan and for everyone else, but it's not okay for me. It's not. I want to wait, Jeff. I am going to wait. It's not right for me either. Lolly waved him off, shook her head, and walked to the greenhouse. Hopefully, Miss Bunch would keep her mama busy a little longer while she got herself under control. Lolly took up a watering wand from the side of the greenhouse and began to check the moisture level of the young plants. She tried to pretend that she wasn't listening for the sound of Jeff's truck. Finally, after what seemed like an eternity, it roared off, and she exhaled deeply. Lolly was right about Miss Bunch. She monopolized Sierra's time for most of the afternoon, asking the name of every plant, though they were written clearly on the little plastic stakes at the edge of each pot. She also needed their complete care instructions, when and how much water, how much sun, etc. Sierra's mind wandered as she waited on Miss Bunch. What was going on with Jeff and Lolly? Those two had been breaking up and making up for the last 2 months. Her mother's instinct said there was more to this than the typical puppy love spat where the drama of fighting is more exciting than the relationship. Jeff and Lolly weren't the type to play games. He had chased Lolly for months, and once Lolly admitted she was crazy about him too, they had dated steady, spending all their free time together. Jeff had been Lolly's first real boyfriend, and their relationship always seemed so natural and easy. If Miss Bunch ever left, Sierra planned to talk to Lolly about what was going on. She had tried this before and was unsuccessful, but with Lolly at the shop, things might go better. In the past, they'd shared their best mother-daughter talks with their hands buried in soil. Lolly might not admit it, but Sierra sensed that whatever her daughter was going through, it was heavy. Miss Bunch finally made 2 purchases, 3 if you counted the magnet she bought at the register. By the time Sierra saw the older lady off, it was close to 6 o'clock. They usually locked up around 5:30, and there were still sale items to be brought in off the porch, as well as the general sweeping and locking up. They would have to hurry home to get supper on. Sonny was working hard. She wanted to make sure he had a good meal. Maybe after supper, she'd bring up Colorado and Uncle Marvin again. Lolly was relieved. It didn't look like her mother would have time to quiz her about Jeff. Lolly's parents had raised her with strong principles. She knew what they thought about premarital sex. She knew what the church said about it, too. She shared their conviction. The problem was when she and Jeff were alone. At first, her principles were enough. She loved Jeff. She believed she loved him the way you love someone you're going to marry. But she wasn't getting married. She was going to college. Lolly was no prude. She and Jeff had done their share of serious necking over the last year and a half. More, really, than she wanted to admit. But no sex. In the last few months, things had gotten really heavy. They had been together too long and were getting way too familiar with each other. It was causing problems. Jeff said he felt the same way she did. He said he wanted to wait, too. But every time they were alone, things started getting out of hand, and Lolly would end up feeling torn and confused. Of course, he was always sorry, always so sorry when she started crying. Lolly heard her mother call to her from the front of the store. She and her mom had always been close, able to talk about everything. But how do you tell your mother that you're breaking up with your boyfriend because you don't want to have sex, and you're scared that if you keep dating him, you will? If Jeff loves me the way he says he does, she thought, he wouldn't let it come to that every time we're alone. Come on, baby. We need to go. Coming, Mom. The morning sun slammed into the shuttered windows, drawing shadowy stripes across Sierra as she tossed about in her sleep, wrapping the sheets around her into knots. Sierra watched as Sonny disappeared below the water. He resurfaced, holding something, no, someone, in his arms. Sierra's heart stopped. She was afraid to look, afraid it was Brandon. Oh, God, it looked like Brandon. No, wait. She looked at the small, still body, straining her eyes to see his face. Her heart started beating wildly. It wasn't Brandon. It wasn't Brandon. After all, it was Trey. Sierra turned slowly. She saw Ellen crumple to her knees. Poor Ellen. But they would all help her. She looked past Ellen, searching the glassed-in porch. There he was. Brandon. His little face was pressed to the glass. He looked scared. Those dark eyes pleaded with her to come get him. His eyes reminded her of the picture, the one from the ballpark, the picture she saw in his room. His room. Sierra's eyes flew open. Her pillow was wet. She sat up in bed as reality bore down. The dream was back. It had been several years since she had dreamed that Brandon was on the porch and Trey was in the water. In the dream, she was so happy it wasn't Brandon that she didn't even care it was Trey. She knew what Ellen would face better than anyone, but in the dream, she didn't care. As long as it was gone from her, that horrible, gnawing pain. Sierra looked over her shoulder. Sonny had already left for the farm. The digital clock on his nightstand read 5:30. Sonny used to nuzzle her awake gently before he left. Now he slipped out quietly. To let her rest, he said. Sierra lay back down on her side and pulled the blanket up around her face, hugging Sonny's pillow to her chest and breathing in his scent. The dream had worked its old havoc, taking her from the depths of despair to a glorious relief before slamming her back into the truth. It always made Sierra want to feel guilty about being so glad to see the body belong to Trey and not to Brandon. But she never did. All she felt was the grief again and the anger. 5 years ago, everyone had said the anger was healthy. Was there a statute of limitations on that? Sierra got up suddenly and crossed the room. She needed a run. That's it. She needed to run until it hurt and then keep on running. She opened her top dresser drawer and chose a sports bra. The drawer beneath it yielded a pair of gym shorts and a faded tank. Sierra dressed quickly before padding downstairs in her sock feet. She peeled a banana in the kitchen and ate it while jotting the twins a note to let them know she was running. They would get up by their alarm clocks around 6:30. Luke's blaring a country music station. Lolly's the morning news from WPT4 out of Jackson. Sierra walked down the drive, stretching her arms in giant windmills. She stopped at the road and took several runner's lunges, holding them and enjoying the feel of her muscles as they began to give. She had always loved to run in the mornings. Sonny had often indulged her when Brandon was a toddler by taking the little boy with him for his early morning rounds, letting her run up and down in front of the house while the older kids slept. She didn't let herself run much anymore. She'd read too often that it was bad on the knees and legs. Now she walked most of the time. She enjoyed walking up to a point, but it never gave her the satisfaction of a long, hard run. She longed for that fine line between pain and pleasure before the endorphins kicked in. Sierra allowed herself to dwell for a minute on the closeness with God she had felt way back then. She had felt so close to Him in those moments when the whole world seemed to be sleeping. She had talked to Him without talking, her whole being reaching towards Him, her thoughts a stream of consciousness that acknowledged His presence. That was a long time ago. Now, when she walked, she held her thoughts in check, making sure they were hers, inviting none of his. Who do I think I'm fooling? I want Sonny and the kids to continue to love you and serve you, but I want to keep this distance between us. You, God, me, Sierra. Let's leave it at that. Sierra was a few yards down the road before she realized she was praying. Sort of. A mile or so from the house, her body began to beg for mercy. 3 mile runs used to be a cinch. Disappointed that it had come to this, she gritted her teeth, trying to decide how much further to push herself. Sierra heard a vehicle approaching from behind her. Looks like a few more minutes anyway, she thought. She had always hated to let anyone see her stop running and slow down to a walk. It seemed like an admission of weakness, like she couldn't finish something she had started out to do. Sierra was concentrating on taking deep breaths when the car came along beside her. Girl, I wish you'd quit. It makes the rest of us look bad. Judy Nolan adjusted the speed of her car to Sierra's pace. Good morning to you too, Sierra greeted Judy warmly. I would have called to see if you wanted to run, but, Judy broke in, you were scared you couldn't keep up with me. Right. That's right, Judy. Yeah, that was it. The two women smiled at each other affectionately. Listen, Judy said, I really do need to talk to you. Can you come by for coffee on your way to the shop? Sierra searched to see Judy's expression behind the dark shades, but she couldn't. You sound suspicious. Can't you tell me now? No, it's big, and you can't breathe as it is.
I'm going to go now so you can admit you're tired and walk before you drop dead.
Sierra grinned and waved her friend off, wondering what the scoop of the day was this time. As Judy's car rounded a curve and fell out of sight, Sierra grudgingly slowed to a walk. Whatever it was, Sierra thought, it has Judy animated. Sierra had always thought her best friend should have been an actress. No one loved a good drama like Judy.